This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
And good afternoon. And Carol Masser, what a treat we have ahead of us for us and for everyone listening out there. Doris Kearns Goodwin, she is Pulitzer Prize winning author and a presidential historian. Of course, her new book is Leadership in Turbulent Times. She joins us on the phone from Concord, Mass. Great to be with you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us in these, shall we say, turbulent times.
I think it fits. I didn't know that when I started this book some time ago that the title would be so relevant as it has become today.
What's so interesting is you are not writing about current times, but you take us back over past presidents and the turbulent times that they had to deal with and some of the things that they did to get themselves through it. Talk to us a little bit about it.
Well, I think what I'm really hoping for the book right now is that it shines a spotlight on the leadership traits that really have made it possible for them to get through those difficult times. Humility, the ability to acknowledge errors, empathy, resilience, you know, the capacity to acknowledge how you're growing through the office, and the communication ability and courage, all these things that I think fit human nature and fit building a team and inspiring that team, whether you're in politics or business, but particularly in these tough times, those qualities seem to shine, and hopefully they can shine on us today and in somewhat in contrast.
Well, and Doris, one of the things that you have done so well in all of your books, and specifically in this one, is to remind people that there's turbulence and then there's turbulence. And several of the things that you outline, the times that you outline here, do provide some very important perspective on some things that other presidents have faced. What's the most stark example of that in your estimation?
Well, probably Abraham Lincoln. I mean, he said when he first came into office, after he realized, of course, that the country was splitting in two and the Civil War was about to begin, he said if he'd ever imagined what it was going to be like, he wouldn't have thought he could have lived through it. I mean, he realized that after the fact. And I suppose second to him would be what FDR faces when he comes into office. And he worried that the whole House of Cards might collapse before he could even take the oath of office. And, the economy was at rock bottom. Banks were closing. Depositors were taking their money out. And there was a sense of whether capitalism would survive.
What's interesting, too, is, you know, not everybody may deal with challenging times in the same way, right? But what you do say is you talk about that all four were guided by a sense of moral purpose, which is they truly had an understanding of what they needed to achieve and had to figure out how to get there.
No, that's right. I think all of them started with personal ambition that was for themselves, and then at some point it gets transformed into something larger, an ambition for the good of the country. And that changes them in a certain way. They've grown into that from where they first started. And they do make the citizens somehow join together in a common purpose. They're able to inspire that sense of working together. Sometimes maybe it's easier in a crisis because there's a need to mobilize that spirit. But there's other presidents who were there in that similar crisis period. Hoover right before Roosevelt, McKinley right before Teddy Roosevelt, Buchanan, considered the worst of the presidents, right before Abraham Lincoln, and they couldn't get done what these leaders did because they had a certain set of being fit for the moment. Even, I would argue, JFK probably could not have gotten the Civil Rights Bill through that Lyndon Johnson did as a legislative wizard that he was.
And so, Doris, when you think about today, and especially you think about the relationship that this president has with the other branches of government, those seem to be, shall we say, right in the fore at the moment. Give us some historical context there, maybe to make us feel better about what we're going through right now.
Well, you know, I think the only real danger of what we're going through now is if we assume that this unprecedented time when there's breaking news every day and there's something to disturb the senses and the agitation, that it's the norm and we're never going to get back to an earlier time where there was bipartisanship, when people entered public life and it was considered an honorable profession. And I think that's what many people must have felt in those earlier times, if we could only put ourselves back in their situation. And if we recognize that, we can know. I mean, one of the things Franklin Roosevelt said is that problems that we create, we can solve. And we don't know maybe how to get out of this time right now, but there will be a way. And we've been through, as I say, these worst times before. So history provides assurance. I think it provides perspective, and we just have to remember it so that not just for hope, but if you see the evidence of what we went through before, it's so much tougher, and this country came through. As Lincoln said, you know, who would want to exchange this country for any other? We have to keep remembering that. And he said, interestingly, that when he was worried, there was a lot of violence in the air during the 1830s and 40s, and he was worried about the state of the country, and he said that every mother should be reading to their children the memories of the revolution and the ideals on which the country were founded, just to remind us of what it was that was holding us together. And I feel that right now, almost this passion about history, if it can remind us that we've been through this and we were able as citizens, it requires the awakening of the citizenry. I mean, it was the anti-slavery movement, it was the progressive movement, it was the civil rights movement, it wasn't just the leaders in place, it was that joining of the leaders and citizens alike.
It's such a reminder, right, I feel like, because so many folks will say, gosh, we're just living through such dark times. We have been through dark times, even darker times before. What I want to ask you, Doris, is I think about, I've got a 15-year-old, Jason's got a bunch of kids, we're raising a next generation of leaders in a really interesting time where leadership doesn't fall into, I feel like, the formula that we all used to kind of know and love. What do you say to this younger generation?
Well, I think there is the good thing is there are signs that are positive that younger generation is more interested perhaps in politics than they've been in recent decades. There's a sense of energy that's out there. In fact, one of the reasons why I start the book with when all of my four guys, I call them that, somehow I got so used to living with them for so long, that they all started at young ages, at 23, 25, 28, but they weren't going to be successful right away. I was in a college audience, and a student raised his hand and said, but how can I ever become one of them? I was talking about leadership lessons from the White House. So I figured by starting with them, like Lincoln's going to lose his first race. In fact, he says at the beginning, I may lose this race. I don't have any popular relations to recommend me. But if I do lose, I will try again. In fact, he says, I'll try five or six times until it's so humiliating. And then I promise I won't try again. It's important for young people to know that the path to these pinnacle people is never the same. It comes from different places. They don't take the same pathways on the way to the top. And they're going to struggle. And they're going to screw themselves up with swelled heads.
Right.
And then they're going to learn from their mistakes and they're going to grow. And that's the important thing.
Amazing, amazing perspective.
Thank you.
Kearns Goodwin, Pulitzer Prize winner, of course, and author of Leadership in Turbulent Times, her latest book. It is an absolute must read for anyone who cares anything about what's going on right now. Joining us on the phone from Concord, Mass.
And like as she says, it's an exploration into kind of the exercise of leadership. It's not something that develops overnight. You've got to be challenged, I think, to be the best leaders. Speaking of leaders, top stories right now on the Bloomberg talks about the market slide in stocks, GOP nearing a Kavanaugh vote, and China using that tiny chip in a hack that infiltrated U.S. companies. That's our top three, Jason.